He was learned from his father's house to the land that I will show you. Zok Rashi. He did not reveal to him the land immediately. They keep something a little bit mysterious. It's more chashuv to a person. He anticipates it more. And furthermore, the law says loy schar al kol dibur v'dibur, to give him schar for every single dibur. What does that mean, to give him schar for every single dibur? Because if you would tell it to him right now exactly where he's going, he would get schar for a dibur, go to Eretz Yisrael. But this way, every way along the way, after the Rebbe told him, from here you should go here, and from here you should go there. So there were numerous tzivuyim, numerous commands to go. So for each one of these directives, Avraham Avinu was mekabel a separate schar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give him more schar. In the Medrash, there's a little bit of a different girsa. Instead of veloseis leischar al kol dibur v'dibur, in the Medrash it says veloseis leischar al kol psia upsia, to give him schar for every single step. The question is, Bishlaim, but to give him schar for every single dibur, so he did not reveal to him l'chatchila the place of his destination. And every single time Hashem had to tell him anew, go here, and from here go there. So you get schar for every single dibur. Otherwise, he wouldn't get schar for every single dibur. But to give him schar for every step, why couldn't Hashem tell him, go to Eretz Yisrael, and he'll still get schar for every single step? Every single step of the way to Eretz Yisrael will get schar for. Why now that he's not telling him where he's going, does he get more schar for every single step? I don't know, he'll get schar halich even if he knows where he's going. So I saw a beautiful shot in the Sefer Birchas Peres from the Stifel Goyen Zechatari B'Kodesh L'Vrocha. He says the following. We know the famous klal, the Fum Tzara Agra. According to the tsar that a person has while he does a mitzvah, he gets more schar. Teva ha'odam is, let's say you're traveling, and you know exactly where you're going, the closer you get to your destination, you feel more of a simcha. Oh, we're getting closer already. Oh, I recognize this already. Oh, my mind is holding atat. Closer and closer and closer, you're anticipating it more, and you feel much better about it. What happens if you don't know where you're going? As in my case, you know, I'm very bad in directions, and very often I find myself getting further and further away from the destination the more the trip goes on. It's a terrible tsar. We traveled already for so far, you know, where are we already? Are we getting to the right place? And Adarava, the tsar gets bigger and bigger as the trip goes along. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told Avraham Avinu exactly where he's going, and he would have known, oh, we're getting closer, oh, we're getting closer, of course he would have gotten schar for the psias. But it would have been lacking in the Lufum Tzara Agra. But this way he didn't tell him. And Avraham Avinu did not know exactly where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guiding him. So Lufum Tzara Agra, he didn't know, am I going further away? Am I getting closer? And the Yosef was besuffered, the Tzara was great, so losses was schar to give him extra schar al kopsiyu psia. This is a very nice pshat. But it has a very meyerdik and musahaskul for each and every one of us. In the secular world, the world is measured by the bottom line. A person gets his bank statement at the end of a month, he sees clearly, kach v'kach is what I invested, kach v'kach is what I made, I know clearly where I'm going. Whether I'm going up or I'm going down, but I know exactly where I'm holding. In Ruchnius, it's not like that. In Ruchnius, we try. We hope we're going in the right direction, and we hope we're reaching our destination, but we're not clear. Maybe we're off. Maybe we're talking, not doing what we're supposed to do. And the true Oyvid Hashem, even though he's going towards the right direction, he doesn't know if he's reaching his goal. That's a chelik of the Lufun Tzara Agra. If you don't know exactly where you're going, in Ruchnius, it's not so shy to tight up exactly. Did I conquer every meat I'm supposed to conquer? Am I handling this in the right way? I'll be Das Torah. There's always sveikas, there's always that doubt within the person. And that goes to Lufun Tzara Agra, that in Ruchnius, the more we're Oyvid Hashem, the more schar you get, because there's more tzar involved. Adarava, sometimes the greater a person is, the greater are his sveikis. The Gemara says about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that before he was nifter, he was already holding on his deathbed, so he started crying. Says Talmidim, ask the Rebbe, Patash Chazak, you know, the great light of Klal Yisrael. You're Mesupik? He says, yes, I'm Mesupik. If I give on with my Melech Bosu V'dam, who I know his Kayach is only temporary, and he can't affect me in the Eilam Ha'emes, wouldn't I be scared? Kal V'chaymer with my Melech Machi and Mokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, who was the acting Nasi of Klal Yisrael during the Churban, for all the takunas that he made for Klal Yisrael, his unbelievable leadership of Klal Yisrael, and he was crying before he was Nifter. He did not know if he reached his destination. So Lachas Kama V'Kama, regular people like us, we don't know if we're reaching our destination. On that, we get extra schar l'fun tzara agra. You have to try and go in the right direction. You know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mimele will give us that siyata d'shraya. It's also like that when it gets to Mashiach, Hachakale v'chol yim shiyavay. One of the questions we're going to be asked, Lachamev es Roshana, Tzipiso v'Yeshua, did you wait for the Yeshua? We haven't the foggiest idea when Mashiach is coming. He can come, mamish, tomorrow morning, the first thing. He can come, who knows when. Yet we wait, Hachakale v'chol yim shiyavay. Even though we don't know, and that goes to Lepun Tzara Agra. If we take away from him, we take a believe every day that he could be coming today, and we wait up on Emes, that gives us a tremendous, tremendous schar that's going to Avraham Avinu. That's the Maisa of a sin of one of Avraham Avinu for us. Losses like schar al kol ksiu upsiu. Pasuk goes on to say, "Vavorocha mevorechecha," and I will bless those that bless you. And those that curse you, I will curse. All the families of the world, they will be blessed through you. So the famous question that the Mefarshim ask is, why by the Mevarachim, those that bless Avraham, it says, I will bless those that bless you. So then, by the Mekalelcha, it should have said, V'o'er Mekalelacha. Should have said, and I will curse those that curse you. But that's not what it says. By the Mevarachim it says, I will bless them before it says the act of blessing. And by the Mekalelim it says, and those that curse you, I will curse. Why the switch in Lashon? So there's numerous Mefarshim over here. The Klei Yoker says of Pshat, that by a mitzvah, by something which is good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gives the schar for the machshava even before the action is done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah machshava l'maisa. When you do a mitzvah, Hashem gives you schar for the machshava that went into it even before you did the mitzvah. By a virus, it's not like that. Even though a person thought of doing an aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the punishment for the aveira itself and not for before the aveira. And they were, by the brachas it says, Va'avorecha mevorachecha. For those that bless you, there will already be bracha from before the bracha. For the machshava to give you a bracha, there will already be a blessing from before they blessed you. By the mekalelim, on the other hand, it says, after they curse you, only then will I curse them. By an aveira, the punishment comes after the ma'aser aveira. That's a pshat from the Klei Yoker. The Meshech Chochma says a pshat. The Meshech Chochma says like this. By the mevarchim, they are going to continue to bless you after they bless you. So it says, Vavaracha, I will bless them, and then they'll still be Mavaracha. I don't know. You know, they'll see that they're gaining by being in your camp. So after I bless them, Mavarachacha, they will still continue to be your Mavaracha. On the other hand, Umekalelcha O'er, finished, and then they will stop, they will cease to be, and they will no longer be Mekalelim. So the claw that I will give them will stop them from being Mekalelim, therefore it doesn't say, O'er Mekalelcha, after I give them the claw, they will no longer be Mekalelcha. Umekalelcha O'er, and finished, and that will stop. The Vilna Gaon says a beautiful chant. The Vilna Gaon says, it's Yadua, that the bracha that a rich person gives someone is greater than the bracha that a poor person gives someone. Why? A poor person doesn't have many asagas. A poor person will give you a bracha. I give you a bracha. You should have a good geshmak, a piece of bread and butter to eat for breakfast. I give you a bracha. You should be zeiche that a couple of times a week you should have a hard-boiled egg. For an ayin, it's a gevaldik gezach. If an usher gives you a bracha, usher has much bigger hatzogis. I give you a bracha. You should invest in stocks in the stock market to go 1,000 points in one day. You know, and you should invest in gold and the price of gold. You know, he has big hatzogis when it comes to hashus and to bracha. The usher has a lot of hatzogis. Only doesn't have such hatzogis. When it comes to a klala, though, it's just the opposite. When it comes to a klala, an usher doesn't have such a hasogis in what it means to be bad. You know, he'll give you a klala, and I hope that, you know, I hope that the stocks go down 50 points or whatever. That's a terrible thing. An ani, when he gives a klala, he says, I hope that your house falls apart. I hope you end up sleeping in the mud. I hope I'm here. When it comes to the bracha, those that give you the bracha, they will already be blessed from beforehand. The rich people are going to be the ones that give you the bracha. That's going to be a major bracha. Those that give you a klola will be rich people. They're only going to get the klola afterwards. The klola is not going to be such a bad klola. By the mevarachim, they will already be blessed beforehand. They will be rich people. And then they will bless you. The brachas are going to be the chayah, right? But Aniyim, though, on the other hand, they're not going to be poor before him, because that's going to make the klola worse. So they're first going to get the klola. If there was the ones that are going to get the klola, will also be rich people, and the klola's are not going to be so bad. They say over on a certain yid, I don't want to mention his name, but one of the chashuvim of Rabbanim's Talmidim. Today is a big kodesh, very choshev yid, elder yid today. But he lived in the lake with Kailu. He lived in Teich Dachkus. Remember, she was a pauper, she was a pauper. So there was a certain bacher in Lakewood. He became he was originally going to be studying in medical school, and he gave it all up to sit and learn. He became a chosin. So this Kailu Yungerman spoke by his Shever Brachas. He says, you know what he gave up? He gave up going to medical school. He could have made $70 a week. He could have made. The place started laughing. He said, no, I mean $90 a week. That was the hasogis of this fellow. He had mamish no hasogis of gashmias. You know, that's the shot over here. The people that give up Rome of the brothers, they're going to have gebaldig hasogis and gashmias. They're going to be blessed beforehand. Before they give you the bracha, they will already be blessed. Their hasogas will be great. Lehepa, those that give the klolas, they're not going to have hasogas and klolas. They'll also be rich. Their klolas are going to come afterwards. As they're approaching Mitzrayim, Avraham Avinu tells Sarah, Imri no achaisiyot. I realize that you're beautiful, and now we're going to have problems with the Mitzrayim. Imri no achaisiyot, please say you're my sister. L'man yitav li v'avurech, so that it should be good for me because of you. V'choysa nafshi v'gloleich. And I will live because of you. So Rashi says, what does it mean, l'man yitav li v'avurech? Today they should give me matanas. That's a very funny thing to hear from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, the ish ruchi, the man that's totally spiritual, who spreads the word of Hashem throughout the world, he says, say that you're my sister, they should give me my tonus. It sounds a little bit like Avraham Avinu is a mercenary over here. He's interested in Gashmias. And furthermore, later on in the parasha, by the Melech Zedayim, when Avraham Avinu conquered all of the loot from the kings that took away Melech Zedayim's goods, he didn't want to accept a penny from Melech Zedayim. Melech Zedayim offered him everything. Tell me, I never for a chush kaplok. And Avraham Avinu said, "In yichud v'atzroich na, I don't want to take a penny." So what's if his anhog over here was different than over there? So I don't know if it's a total teretz, but a partial teretz it is. I wanted to say it myself once upon a time, but I found Tak in the Sefer Eitzus HaTorah. He Taka says it. I don't think it answers everything, but at least a little bit. Avraham Avinu wasn't such a mercenary. Avraham Avinu saw the Ruach HaKadosh, that eventually his children are going to be in Mitzrayim. Hagamah was before the Brisbane Absorah. He wasn't told yet by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he saw Beruach HaKadosh that his children are going to be in Mitzrayim. And afterwards, they're going to go out for a chush gadol. So he wanted this to be a maisa of a simon lebonim, that he's in Mitzrayim and he's leaving with the rechush gadol. This will be the maisa of a simon lebonim, so that his children should also leave rechush gadol. Not that he wanted it so much for himself; he wanted it as the maisa of a simon lebonim for his children. So he's taking the sefer Eitzus HaTorah. The Avram kaved moed.
Why is an answer? Altogether.
Why by Melech Zedayim didn't he want his children to be Nehenna? I mean, okay, you'll have to say that. Was that? It was only by Yetzias Mitzrayim? Could be. It could be. You have to kvetch l'fidus pshat, which I was meramez a little bit, that even though Avraham Avinu did not yet get the message from Hashem that going to be in Mitzrayim, you have to say he knew it somehow or other. That's a shtickle shverikai. As Avraham Avinu left Mitzrayim state, Avraham kaved ma'oid ba'mikne ba'kesef uva'zohav. Avraham Avinu was very much laden down with cattle, with silver, with gold. And he went on his travels minegev adesel ad hamokam ashoheisham aholi batchila till the place where he pitched his tent in the very beginning, ben desel uven ha'oi, which was el hamokam hamizbeah ashoshasham barishaina vayikosham Avraham b'shem Hashem. He went back to the original place where he built the mizbeah, where he gathered hundreds of people and called out and was mefarsing the name of Hashem. So I once saw a Meiridik Yavart here from an Enikul of the Chassam Sefer, Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, Zeich Tzadik B'Chodesh L'Brach. The Schlesinger here, you know, the famous Schlesinger Mishpacha, they stammed from him. All them Godel Adma Oida, he had a Tzadik and an Onov, and he was an early settler in Eretz Yisrael, and when he gave this, he said this word, as I'll explain in a minute. It says about Avraham Kaved Ma'oid, Avraham Avinu was very laden down. Ba'mitne ba'kesef uva'zohav. He was laden down with cattle, with silver and gold. There are a lot of people that are laden with riches and it hinders their halicha. It hinders their progression in ruchnias. They get caught up with their riches, they get caught up with the gashmias, and it can take their mind away, it can take their focus away from Avodas Hashem. Avraham Avinu, it says, Avraham kaved ma'oid ba'mikne ba'kesu v'azor ba'afal pikein v'yelech l'masov. He still proceeded on his mission. It did not take him away from his single-minded mission to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And where was he headed for? Alamokam ha'shahayisham ha'holi b'tchiva. He went back to the place where he was with l'chitchila when he was poor. He went back for the same goals. A lot of times a person strikes it rich, he wins the lottery, I'm moving to a different place, to a new neighborhood, I'm going to have a major swimming pool in my backyard, I want to have this and I want to have that. Avraham Avinu did not have sheepish for anything else. He went alamokam ha'shahayisham b'tchiva, where he built the mizbeach by Yikur B'Shem Hashem. This is his soul, Tachlis. The fact that he became rich now did not change him in a mashu. By Yelech L'Masov, he went on his travels, he went on his mission, just the way he was L'Chachim. Now, B'Negeo, what did Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger say this part? Akiva Yosef was one of the people that was involved in building colonies in Eretz Yisrael before the Zionists, you know, before... He had in mind he wanted to bring people to Eretz Yisrael and to build colonies and so on and so forth. So he came to Eretz Yisrael and he was the one that helped build up Petach Tikva. Petach Tikva L'chitchila was a community which was made up of Taras HaKadosh. Unfortunately, slowly but surely, there was the wrong element that was. They had a whole constitution there. Whole constitution of halachas, you can only be part of this community if you stick to this chumrah and to this halacha and to this halacha. And somehow or other, it didn't work out. We were saved, the community fell apart, and it became a totally secular community at the end, from which he had terrible agnes nefesh, because he was the Yamanish, wanted to build an altar sakkadish. He said later on, he feels that the reason why this happened is because they were a higher element, they were richer, they wanted more gashmis. But again, that he said this part. He said, "By Avraham Avinu, he was covered by mitne batzoyin afal pikein. He did not lose his concentration. He did not lose his focus to serve HaKadosh Baruch." Now, something that we have to know on our own. You know, we're living in America. America is a megushendik country where you have mamish kol tov afal pikein. We have to realize that we're not allowed to lose our focus. Our focus has to be on aliyah beruchnias. Vayiso loytes einav, and Loit lifted his eyes. This is after the Roye Loit, the shepherds of Loit and the shepherds of Avram, they got into a machlokes. So Avram Avinu told them, "Listen, it's not good that we should be together. Let's split. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. I'll always be there for you." Vayiso loytes einav, vayar es kol kikar hayardein ki chula mashke. He saw the plain of the Yarden, the plain land over there. Kichuva Mashki, it was watered everywhere. Tremendous irrigation. Lufnei Shachais Hashem Esdeim Vezhamayra, Kigan Hashem, Keretz Mitzrayim, Boya Chotzoya. And the post goes on back there, and he says, and that's where Lot ended up settling. So Rashi brings down the Gemara in Hayrius that Darshan's this set of psukim over here, every word refers to Znus. Not that Lot wanted the beautiful plain land, Noach wanted to go to a place where there was immorality, where there was Znus, and the end was he was mizana with his daughters. Then it was he was mizana with his daughters. And it was slightly knowingly. It wasn't like a total oinus, the way the Pusik seems to say. There was a little bit of a yediyah there, the Gemara says in Masechtas Hayyus. So I saw Rabbi Yaakov, and this pure Shemesh Yaakov, he asks, how could Chazal say that? You know, how could Chazal, the Torah says, come shoot me. Vayar, Vayisa Loi Tesena, he saw Kikar Hayard and Kichul and Mashke. And the Gemara in Hayyus finds a remez in the Psuk in Bederach Ramiz. It doesn't say Befeish. Finds a remez. You find that Kikar in a different place means Znus. So over here also Kikar Hayarding means Znus. He says Einov in a different place. Einov refers to Znus. Here also it refers to Znus. How could Chazal say, Lot wasn't on my grave. He was supposed to be on fine. But why would Chazal make him a lot worse than he was? Like, where did he get the right to do that? So Rabbi Yaakov says, Amayudiki Yisoyed. It's not just the Pshat here, but it's a Yisoyed Kala Torah Kulu. We know in the Torah that there are four levels of learning the Torah. There's Pshat, that's the simple Pshat in the Pasuk. There's Remez, there are certain things that the Torah tells us, B'derech Remiza, alluding to something, doesn't say it openly. There's Drush, it's a different form of learning. And then there's Soyed, there's Kabbalah. Pashut people think it's really the same thing. It's just the Torah tells us this in different ways. Here it says it, the failure is here. It just alludes to it, but it's not true. Now Ral says this, and other Mepharshim say it as well. The way the Torah tells us something happened is the way it actually happened. If the Torah tells us B'derek Pshat something happened, it happened out in the open. You were able to see it. If the Torah says it B'derek Drush or B'derek Remez, it didn't happen in such an open way. Either happened in the subconscious, either it happened on a different olam, right, in a different world, but it didn't happen out in the open. Depending how the Torah tells it to me, that is the way it happened. For example, and that's Yisoyed number one. Yisoyed number two, the same way as Pshat Remez Rush and Soyed in the Torah, every person has in himself Pshat Remez Rush and Soyed. It's the way a person acts simply. He's motivated by certain factors. But there's also certain hidden factors within him which the person might not even realize. That motivate him in doing something, he doesn't really realize it. There are things that are out in the open that he thinks through, and this causes him to decide, I'm doing such and such. But there's certain things that are not even in his conscious part where you can think it over. There's certain things that are inside of him. It could be a tiger here, it could be a certain fear that he has in the subconscious, and that causes him to make a decision. Where do you find such a thing of a marshal? Famous pasuk in Parshas Vayakel, when everybody donated, all the people came to donate their matanos to the Mishkan. It says, "Ba'anisim heviu," they brought precious stones to the Mishkan. So Rashi says that the Nesiim, they said, you know what? When everybody brings the end of doves to the Mishkan, whatever the Mishkan is lacking, we're willing to donate. They brought it at the end. At the end they found there was nothing lacking. All they could bring were these few precious stones. Which sounds like a Mary de Kazakh. The Nesim were willing to say, you know, whatever the Mishkan is, we're willing to give. But Rashi goes on at the end that their name is missing a Yud. The Nesim said without a Yud. Why? They were a little bit lazy over here. There was Oxalus over here. Because they were lazy, they didn't bring it right away. There was a Yud taken out of their name. The Torah's Meramis, there was laziness. So here too, you have the same thing. You know, if they did something, a noble thing that they did, well, we're going to bring anything that the Mishkan is lacking. Why should Chazal turn it into something that was lacking on their part? The Torah says, out in the open, they're conscious, they're seichel. I don't know, it was totally l'shem shemayim. But the Torah is being maramis to us over here that someone that's mamish, totally l'shem shemayim doesn't think like that. Someone that's mamish, l'shem shemayim, he'll go right away, oh, let's bring it to the Mishkan. And if they had such a cheshbon l'shem shamayim, then beneath the surface there must have been a little bit laziness. The Torah was only miraculous to it by taking out a yud, because it was only in their subconscious. They themselves didn't realize that that was their motivation. Chazal Beruach Kotchem took the remez and said, out in the open, their mind, their logic told them to say Chalayosu, a good thing. It was a good thing to do what they were doing. But also there was a subconscious motivation there, a remez within the person, which the Torah is miraculous to by taking out the yud. Zokhtar Yankir, it's the same thing over here. Light in his conscious mind, he wasn't thinking smush. No. I don't know. Chazal didn't mean to say, I'm making, oh, there's immorality over there, there's all kinds of casinos there, all kinds of Facebook. That was not his conscious mind. 100% not. And that is why, out in the open, the simple shot, the Torah tells us. He wanted the land, he made a cheshbon, I have plenty of cattle, I'm going to be able to graze the cattle over there, I'm going to be able to raise crops over there. That was in his conscience. But Chazal knew, how could it be that because of such a simple thing alone, so he'd have a little bit less over here. Is that the reason why he would leave Abraham Avinu? So that Chazal said, in his subconscious, there's a remez in the pasuk over here that in the remez of the person, there was other motivations involved also. There was a motivationlessness. And Lloyd didn't realize it right now. It came out in the open later on. It came out in the open when it's done, when the people came upon the house, he offered his two daughters for zvus. See, he had zvus on his mind. And the saif davar was, he ended up being mezaneh with his own daughters. And as Chazal said, the second one was done knowingly. He knew that he was doing it, and he did it normally. Anyway, Chachilah was in the subconscious. Later on, it came out in the open. That is a miracle limit for all of us. The person has to realize there are open kaychas within the person that motivate him. But a lot of times, there are some hidden kaychas that make him make a decision, and the person himself does not realize that this is what is motivating him. And that's a very dangerous thing. A person is the most complex living thing in the world today. Most complex, much more than animals, much more than malachim. There are so many different forces within the person. And the person has to manage, he has to do a balancing act. Manage a balancing act. He has to balance all the kaychas within him. There are different kaychas pulling him in different directions to the extent that he himself doesn't even realize it. And the Mela, the Torah, that's a lima that we can take from over here. That out in the open, you're thinking one thing, and deep down inside, there's some other cheshbon over there that you don't even realize. That's why a person has to make a cheshbon on nefesh. One of the most important things for a person is to know himself. I'll just say over one more word. V'Hashem Amar al Avram, Acharei Parad Leit Me'imai. After Leit left Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avram again. Shona einecho ureim en amok mashata amit sham. Lift your eyes and see from the place that you're standing to Faino, Vanegma, Vakedma, Vyama, north and south and east and west. Kies kova ores asher atoroye. All the land that you see, l'cho etneno olazaracha ad olam. I will give it to you and your children forever. Meshechachim asks a question over here. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham Avinu to see Eretz Yisrael, why did he tell him to lift up his eyes to Shemayim? Eretz Yisrael's not up there. You want to see the land, you look straight ahead. What is the pshat? Shona einecha ure'ei. Lift up your eyes and see from the place where you're at. If anything, you should be looking straight ahead. Meshach Chachma says, a moedik pshat and a moedik yisai that should give us all chizuk bizman hazeh. Had Avraham Avinu looked straight ahead at the land in front of him, from a regular look, he would have had a terrible Chalishas Hadas. He would have seen a land that was filled with the Kanani, that was immoral, that was filling up the land and conquering, and he had become full of despair, he'd become full of years. For that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, when you look at Eretz Yisrael, you can't look at it from a regular human perspective. Sona einecha. You have to look at Eretz Yisrael from a shamayimdika perspective, or ruchniyazdika perspective, and then you see a totally different picture. Eretz Yisrael is a land. Einei Hashem aleikecha oleho meireishis hashona va'achrushana. All the other lands are given over into the hands of malachim. There's the Polish malach and the Hungarian malach and the Greek malach. They take care of the different lands. By Eretz Yisrael, there is no Malach. Eretz Yisrael is directly under the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Sonayinecha, lift up your eyes. When you look at Eretz Yisrael, it's under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, and I'm the one that's going to give it to you. Moshe Lamar Davidayna. Here's a fellow that had land near his house, and Ganovim came and took it all over. And the fellow didn't look like he was too perturbed, you know, didn't bother him that much. He says, Bnei Bias system, it doesn't bother you that these Ganovim are taking over your land. So he says, not in the slightest. My land is registered under the government. The government knows exactly who has which land. And when the time comes and I really need it, you know, I'll end up taking my claims to the government and they'll take care of everything. It's the same thing with Eretz Yisrael. You know, we look at Eretz Yisrael today and we see this Palestinians, the Yamach Shemam, the Zichram, and the whole world is giving us trouble about Eretz Yisrael. And we think to ourselves, when is this going to come to a site? How will we never be safe with Eretz Yisrael? For that we have to remember that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu. You can't look at Eretz Yisrael from a regular land perspective the way the other countries are. Sona Einecha, you have to lift up your eyes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and see it from a Ruchni Zdika perspective. And you gotta be misfouled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sachzena Einecha B'Shukho L'Tzien B'Rachanim. Will you shlaim yicha v'rachnim toshuv? And then in the other session, we call all taki b'zoyichet v'yis m'shiach s'keinu v'her v'yameinu. Amen.